We've been looking at the book of Ephesians. We're looking really at the armor of God. And as we started within Ephesians and really hived within the armor of God, we want to continue this morning in that same vein. And as I thought, especially as we went through our worship, that if we understood that God is unchanging, that he is forever faithful and he reigns forever, that he is with us forever, that he is a great God who knows our needs, who knows where we need to be. If we could really assimilate that into our life, then most of this we would have already the armor of God on us. If we really just knew the truth of that. Now the armor of God, as we started this series, we looked at the belt of truth. That really anchors everything is the belt of truth. That there are absolutes. And God's truth is in his word. And that anchors everything. The belt of truth. Not feelings, not emotions, but the belt of truth. Not experiences that you may have, but the truth of the word. What does God's word say? And when we take that and apply it to our lives, we see that here's the truth. Then everything else is anchored to that. We take the belt of truth, which is the absolute of what God says. And from that, we realize that we then put on the breastplate of righteousness. Not our righteousness, but his righteousness. Not our good works. We don't have any when it comes to getting to heaven. But we put on his righteousness, imputed righteousness, imparted righteousness to us, that we would have the righteousness of God. So that when the accusations, as we looked at, are made against us, when the evil one, when the devil wants to say, oh yeah, but he does this. Yeah, he may do that, but he's covered by the blood. I've redeemed him, forgiven. He's justified and forgiven. And the breastplate of his righteousness, behind that breastplate of his righteousness is an unrighteous person. Ah, but he's given us his righteousness. It's not about me. It's about him. It's what he's given to us. We looked last week at Pastor Paul brought to the issue of the footwear of the gospel, that what is on our feet to take that gospel that protects us from getting wounded, to stop that the gospel of peace, that when we understand the truth of the word of God, when we understand how much God loves us, and we see what God has done in us and through us, when we realize that we are new creations because of the breastplate of righteousness that has been put upon us by him, that he's changed our life, that when we see that, we then have the foot feet that share that with others, the gospel to go and share that with others. It should be a constant motivation, quite frankly. We shouldn't need somebody behind us poking us with a spear to tell others about the goodness of God. We shouldn't need others behind us telling us, oh, they don't need to know that. No, we should really approach that with the courage to say, you need to know about the righteousness of God that he longs to give to you. Ephesians 6, as we go on, Ephesians 6:16, it says, in addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Now, that rendition there, that version of that, in addition to all of this, it's right in the middle of the phrase of the passage. And a better translation of that is the priority of importance. It says, in addition to all of this, in essence, it said, above all else, you have the truth, you have the righteousness. Now, what you need is the shield of faith. And when you have this shield of faith, you will ultimately extinguish all the arrows. You can extinguish the arrows of the evil one that has that quiver full of guilt and shame and burden. And you can extinguish all of that. The priority of the shield of faith, as we see its priority, it is above all that priority. Faith is essential to your Christian life today. If you call yourself a Christian, or there's those who are here seeking, wonder what it's all about. Faith is needed in this process. We have the faith in our lives, that faith is needed. Now, there's three types of faith within this that you find in God's word. Some of you are of this first faith, and that is a system of beliefs. You really believe the Bible. You believe, in fact, in the New Testament times, the faith became known as, oh, you're of the faith. And they saw all Christians as the faith. And some of you are in this. You have a system of belief. You may really believe the word. You may really believe the Bible. That is a system of beliefs. You may say, hey, it's good literature or it's good to live by, but that's all it is, the system of beliefs. Because the second type of faith is saving faith. The faith that he talks about in Ephesians, for by grace, through faith, we come to know Christ. That element of faith, believing that God sent his son, that we are in need of a sinner, we were sinners in need of a savior, and God sent his son to die for us. That saving faith that says, I change my dependence from myself to dependence upon God. And God says he gives us that very faith. He gives us that saving faith to trust in him. And then we move from not just a system of beliefs, but we move to where we own that faith. And then it goes into a living faith. 2 Corinthians tells us that the just shall live by faith, that we are to live this Christian life by faith, the living faith. We live by faith. Now, living faith is where we find ourselves today. But that living faith, as I said, is founded in truth. It's founded, it's in truth. We have a lot of people who will use feelings and emotions and impressions, and they'll think, oh, that's my faith. But faith is founded in the truth of the word, that belt that we wear. There is an absolute. This is fact. It's not based upon our feelings. It's based upon the fact. God says he's forever immutable. He will not change. He's a great God, an awesome God. Man, our feelings go like this, don't we? Something bad happens, our moods are down. Something good happens, our moods are up. All those things. God says, listen, faith has none of that because it's based upon the object of the Lord Jesus. And faith is more than a feeling. It's not just an emotion. It's not just an inner impression. Some people say, oh, I just have faith this is going to work. And they're looking at the object of something being done. Some people say, oh, I just feel it. That's not faith. Faith is based upon, it's not just holding good thoughts for someone. Man, you can hold all the good thoughts you want. I hope Don's holding good thoughts on me in his head up there. I hope he is. But guess what? It doesn't infect me at all, really, quite frankly. Now, if Don said, I'm praying for you, that's a whole different ballgame. People who don't want to pray for somebody because they may not really believe in God. And so if you pray, you have to pray to somebody. So they say, oh, I'm holding good thoughts. Well, hold good thoughts and feel warm and fuzzy, but you really don't help them, except that you care for them. You're saying, I care for you. But if you really want to change somebody, if you really want to pull the faithful God, the immutable God, then you call upon him to deal with them and to help with them and to take their burden, to ease their load. It's more than just a feeling. It's the assurance daily that God is with us. We know the truth that he says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Nothing can separate you. Nothing can separate you from my love. That is where trust and faith come from. But what I love about faith, really, is faith begins where the probabilities end. We like to control, don't we? We love control. Oftentimes when we can control something and work in it, we don't think God needs to work, right? Because we can control it. Faith begins where we have no control, where probabilities end. In hopeless situations, that's where faith takes over. Probabilities where, God, there's nothing that can solve this except you. That's where we exercise faith. That's where we exercise trust. Was it probable that a shepherd boy could kill a giant warrior with a slingshot? Was it probable that a wall would fall, huge wall around a city, would fall completely down by people walking around it and all of a sudden shouting, banging pans together, and the wall came down? Is that probable? Is it probable that rain would deluge the earth, cover the earth, and save all but one family in a boat made for water, rain, of which they had never seen? Is it probable that one could survive the den of lions? Is it probable that three could survive the fiery furnace? Is it probable that a few men, chosen by the way they drink water out of the brook, is it probable that those few men could destroy the army of thousands? Is it probable that a child being born and under a day when all of them were to be executed was adopted by the very Pharaoh who said, take care of these and kill the kids, was adopted by that Pharaoh later to grow up and against the Pharaoh and the government come back and lead the people of Israel out of bondage? Is it probable that that would happen? Is it probable, as you look around this room, that a life so screwed up and so pointless could be changed? Some of you would say it never was probable, but boy, look what God has done in my life. I'm amazed. Is it probable that God would love even me? I am thankful for that breastplate of righteousness is not based upon mine. It's based upon his. The object of our faith today, often the object of our faith is the outcome of the situation. We think we know how we want this to end. We think we know the right way a situation should end. And we make that the object of our faith. We make that the object. Instead of making the object of the faith, the Lord Jesus himself. The object is the truth of God and what he says about us, about himself. Situations at times will not make sense. So we focus on what is true. That we're not forgotten. That God is good. That God is awesome. We may not see it, and it doesn't mean everything is good. That bad things happen. But we have the object of our faith is the truth of God, not ourselves. Faith is to be growing. As you look at faith, faith grows gradually. It's just like a child. Our children, they grow gradually. They don't all of a sudden, bam, boom, they're gone. It may, as you look back, feel like they were just a little kid, then all of a sudden they're there. But faith grows gradually. We use life experiences. We use faith history. Many of you could tell me of all the great men of faith in the Bible, and yet you will also go back to the great men of faith in the Bible, and you will see that there were times when they were not great men of faith. It grew. Experience upon experience of trusting God in situations where they had no control, where they just said, God, I'm just going to be obedient to you and do what you want me to do. And they saw that God was faithful. Faith grows through knowing God's word, being in the word, because we need to know what God says about you. Some of you live under the shame and guilt that, and it just binds you up, and you don't realize the forgiveness and the freedom that God has given of you. Often the soil, listen to this, often the soil that great faith grows in is the soil of suffering. Many of you are in the life groups and they're going through suffering, the book on suffering. Listen, there was never a promise that this life would be easy, that this life would be fair. Never that promise. And yet I know that that's not what is taught on TV today. You'll turn on the TV, the TV preachers will say, oh, name it, claim it. God wants you to be wealthy. God, you know, that doesn't work. I'm sorry, it doesn't work. What does work is that sometimes life just sucks. But guess what? I can hold on to the object of my faith, which is the Lord Jesus. Christ says he never fails. He is good, can be nothing but good. He knows my need. He knows where I need to be. He knows my life. And that gives us an assurance. That gives us and steps us off the roller coaster of our emotions and our feelings, that the object of our faith is God and what he says about us. George Mueller was, many of you have read his biography. George Mueller wanted to start in England an orphanage. He basically had about 50 cents worth to start an orphanage. And yet there was such a need in the streets, and he just determined, God, I'm just going to start praying that you just meet the need that we have. And he made the same determination that he was going to ask no man for a thing. He was just going to depend upon God. Thousands and thousands of kids later, as he prayed and God supplied, I mean, times when he thanked God for the food that they were going to eat when there was nothing in the kitchen. God, as we gather to eat, we thank you for the food that we're going to eat. And a knock on the door and there would be food out in the cart. Ah, well, I wish I had that kind of faith, to tell you the truth. But George Mueller writes, trials, difficulties, obstacles, and yes, even bereavements, these are the very food of faith. That the soil that our faith grows in is oftentimes in trials and suffering. But God says that this shield of faith is to protect us. That it protects us. That it protects us by faith. Now, the Roman shield was quite large. The early shields were about 2 feet wide by about 4 feet tall. They would wrap them in leather, and before battle, they would take that leather and they would the shield, and they would dip it in water. It was wood, and they would dip it in water and soak it so that the arrows, if there were arrows that were on fire that were being shot at them, it would help distinguish those arrows. Each side of the shield was beveled, and so as they would approach, they could join together, left each person, they would bevel their tops, and they could form a wall. The next person could even come alongside them and stand, instead of getting down, stand crouched, and bevel his on top. And so they had covering throughout. It became a wall. And it would protect them. Their shield was to protect them. And it was to extinguish those arrows. And God says that when we take this shield of faith, which is trusting God, when we take this shield of faith, that the arrows that are shot at us trying to discourage you and offset you, trying to get you to focus on something other than him, he says all of them will be extinguished. They'll be done. That's quite a promise, isn't it? He didn't say some of them. He said all of them can be done. Every scheme, every tactic. Now, faith is seen, quite frankly, it's demonstrated. Faith is really just seen in a demonstration of trust. That I trust God. Who or what are you trusting in this morning? If we really want to find out if what we're trusting in is right, maybe we should ask the question, how quickly could it be taken away from us? How quickly could it disappear? We trust in a lot of things, don't we? We trust in money. We have those who trust in health. We have those who trust in their job. We trust in family. We trust in a lot of things, but how quickly can they be taken away? The object, the focus of our faith is God and the truth therein. The shield of faith that God knows that He cares. My little granddaughter, Addie, loves puzzles. Man, she loves puzzles. And quite frankly, she's better at putting puzzles together than I am. I'm not talking about just the big pieces, which she does that better, but I'm talking about little pieces. She just has this brain, puts pieces together. We often see our life as taking that box of 1,000 pieces of puzzle and turned upside down. There they all are. And then we go about the process of, here's all these pieces, I got to write them all. Because you have to write them all to see the, what, you know, get an idea. So we write them all. Then we're trying to put it all together. And we get frustrated, we can't find this, we can't find that. And all along, and yet the analogy here is that while we view our life as individual pieces of this puzzle, we're trying to correct it all and hang on to it all and make it all come out. God took the box top and is looking at the box top and says, I know what the puzzle is going to look like. You may not see it because you're focused on the puzzle, the piece, and not the picture. We need to see God as being the big picture, that He's holding the box lid. Faith isn't about feelings. Faith isn't about emotions or good wishes or thoughts. It starts with saving faith, knowing you need a Savior, knowing that heaven ultimately is where we long to be, and unless you know the Lord as your Savior, you won't be there. That starts with the truth, the belt of truth that says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I know it's not politically correct or spiritually correct in some veins to say it, but that's what the Word says. And that saving faith leads to a living faith, which is learning to trust in the truth of God. What is it in your life today that you may need to take and set aside, the situation in your life where you need to say, God, the probability is it's going to fail. Probability is that I can't control. The probability is that I'm going to experience failure. God, I just trust you. I've just got to trust you. God, do that which is the miraculous, which is only you can do. Because it's all I can see taking shape now. Can you trust God in the area of your life that is the most painful right now? Can you focus on Him? Take your eyes off self. Quit trying to control. Quit trying to fix. And just say, God, I just want to be your humble servant dressed in your righteousness. Let's pray.
Thank you for this time. Father, we thank you so much for the faith that we have in you, God, that can be found in something that is unchangeable, is immovable. God, we thank you that even though there's all these other things that vie for our time and try to drag us down, God, that you are the constant. And Father, help us to always look to you. In everything that we do, God, to trust you implicitly with our lives, with the things that we care about the most. And God, when we have those downtimes and we have the suffering and the pain, God, build that faith in us. Help us to understand that through trials we can have joy because you're refining us and you're making us stronger for you. So help us to do that every single day, God. Help us never to give up. And even when we do fall, to understand you're there to pick us up. Help us to have that type of faith. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.